Amen. You know, I was thinking about as she was singing that, as Junior Church gets ready to dismiss at this time as well, if you guys want to head on out that way, I was thinking about little Ellie there, and I was thinking about, you know, when God touches that child, she's going to run all over that place. Thinking about our song leader that I used to have at the church in Florida. He was born with no legs, but he was the most running person you ever seen. He actually was a swimmer in college. He actually was on a swim team. But I was thinking about the moment he got there a few years ago. I can imagine he was running. And can you imagine 5 minutes after you leave this world, 5 seconds after you leave this world. I told Wendy the other day driving down the road, I was looking at something. I said, you know, all the things we worry about, they're not going to matter anymore. All the things we thought were so important won't be so important anymore. So with that in mind, lessons from Llamas Part 2, 1 Peter in chapter 5 is where we're going to start this morning. And of course, I told you a couple of weeks ago, I started Lessons from Llamas Part 1. If you didn't see that one, that was about 2 weeks ago. You can go back to our YouTube channel and get that. But you can get that on the YouTube channel and go back and watch that. The Benson Grove Baptist, if you're online, that's where you find that. You may be watching there this morning. But we based our series on Proverbs chapter 30. We talked about, he said, the answer of people, and he went through the conies and the lions and the greyhounds and said, why do we do that? Well, mascot teams today, we know, pick their mascots because, you know, they attribute them to human things and all that stuff. But we do that because God does. Much of what we do in our adult world is because of what God does. The car, I've often said, is patterned after the human body, if you look at it. And I mean, everything about it, we do that because God does. What does God call us? You say, well, I don't like being likened to an animal. I'm sorry. Take it up with Him. He said you're like a sheep if you're doing what you're supposed to do. Sometimes he calls them goats. There are times the devil is likened to a lion. You cannot escape the animal world. And I think it's kind of interesting that God does that. Because if he'd have said a computer, people in the older ages wouldn't have known what he's talking about. Maybe if he'd have said, you know, a tent, we might know about a tent, but we don't all live in tents. But if he said a lion, everybody in all generations knows exactly what he's talking about. And so he does that, and he uses animals. And so we've learned the lessons. We went through some lessons from the llamas. I'm not going to repeat that the first time. But it gives us those reasons that we take those animal qualities and God in His Word. Those that have been with me, and I'll be in there again this week in Leviticus, in the Leviticus series that we've been doing on Wednesday nights, all of those things, those sacrifices, those types are there for a purpose, and not one of them is by accident. And when you take the cross and you take the Christian life and hold it up to the doctrines of the Old Testament found in there, you will see them clearly. It'll start to make sense. And he does that on purpose. He says, does not nature itself, does not the handiwork of God show his creation? So no one can ever say, even by just looking, you can go to a zoo and you see God. And everything that you see God. And so that's why we based our study on this. But today I want to go to another little aspect of it. And we'll spend just a little bit of time on the first part. And just so we have a reference again on what llamas are camelids. They're not horses or cows. They're of the camel family. So everything's completely different of what you know. One thing I've learned is llamas can kick sideways, not just front and back. So if he wants to kick you and you're standing near him, he probably is going to kick you. That's just what I've learned out of that. Mason, if you would, just pull up that. Drama Mama's Llamas is what we named our hobby farm there. And pull up that video there, the one we gave you today, of Mocha. This is the baby running. And y'all can all go, oh, you know. But that's the baby running. You kind of see the older baby. He's trying to keep up with her. And then there's Larry, there's our herd, and it kind of comes back across. You can kind of see the whole herd there a little bit. There was Mocha, and you can see her, and she'll give you all the YouTube links for our channel and all that stuff. But not here to promote that, just so you have an idea of what was there. And I've got a few pictures for you at the end because of the message. But we can learn, and as I begin to learn about these amazing animals over the last few months, God would just put things in my heart. I began to write them down. And one day, Brother Billy said, "You need to preach that." I said, "People think I'm crazy." He said, "Well, they already do, so don't worry about that." And So I did. And I've had so much good feedback. I hope it's helped you. It's helped me in this life that we live. And I want it to be stuff that you can use, you know, on Tuesday or Monday when you go back to work. That's what I want. So the first thing I want you to see is a llama's stubbornness. Llama's stubbornness. And I want you to take you to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Didn't want to call them Satan because they're not. Sometimes they may make you feel that way if you're trying to get them to do something and they don't want to do it. A llama, a donkey's not the only one that can be stubborn. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, the Word of God says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The devil would love to eat you up spiritually. Now, Satan is constant according to that verse. He is walking about, and a few years ago we had in one of our judgment houses, we had actually Satan's in each crowd. We had to have about 10 guys, I think it was, playing the devil. And they all were in the crowd, scared the daylight out of some people when they said, "Why did you think I was on that side of the fence? I've been with you the whole time." And that's a true picture of Satan. He is not in hell. No, further from the truth, he doesn't want to go there anywhere worse than you do. He does not own a fireproof suit. But he is constant in his attack against the Christian. He is consistent. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, we find out that Jesus faced the temptations, not the music group. But he was led, it said, by the Spirit into the wilderness to face the devil. Then in the Gospels, Mark, Luke, and John, we find out it happened. We find it again. Then we find later on, he's before Peter. And why does he look at Peter? And he says, "Peter, get behind me, Satan." Not calling Peter Satan, but he said, "Satan's given you these words." And he finds it again. Just let me share a truth with you. I remember Brother Billy one time asking an older preacher, he said there was a certain temptation thing. He said, "When do you ever get to the point, you know, the level of Christian?" I believe it was Avery Rogers that he asked. He said, "When do you get to the point in life where you quit fighting this stuff?" And I think it was Brother Avery at that time, if I remember the story correct, said, "Well, I'm 75 and I'm still fighting it." Just because you beat the devil's temptations one day, believe you me, he is consistent, he is constant, he's going to come again. Oftentimes it may be after a great victory as well as before one. He's not going to let you alone. He and his demons and all of that. And the next thing I want you to see is to be confronted. James chapter 4 and verse 7, if you'll turn with me there. You say, "What in the world does it have to do with llamas?" Well, I'm going to tell you what this little crazy thought popped up in my head when we were dealing with them one day. Now, let me encourage you that I can find in Scripture there is nothing that lets us believe that the devil is omnipresent. You say, "What's that mean?" God is. Period. But God is omnipresent, and he can be anywhere, anytime. He is omniscient, meaning he is all-knowing. They cover all that in our Bible Institute very well, but the devil is not. So the chances of each one of us facing the devil every day may not be that high, but he does have a lot of help. And there is another interesting thing I want you to see. James chapter 4 and verse 7, most of you know it. I think I do, but I'm going to put on my... Hopefully I'll quote it right. "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Now, growing up and in churches, many of you have been in churches almost all your life, and you have this little thing about you are scared to death of the devil. Now, I understand there are things. There is a difference in being stupid. I mean, if a person is in common sense, Vance Havner said plain sense makes common sense, use no other sense. I think that's probably true. If you are fighting, say, an addiction of alcohol, it is probably not good for you to go down and sit at the bar tonight and stare at a whiskey bottle and say, I'm just sitting here fighting temptation. It's probably not going to help you out. Remember, a guy was on a diet thing, and they said, how's it going? He said, man, I'm doing great, but I have a real addiction to donuts, Krispy Kreme, you know? And he said, I've been fighting this so hard, and I was doing really good till the other day, but I prayed about it, and God gave me liberty to just go ahead and have a couple of dozen donuts. And they said, a couple of dozen? Man, what are you talking about? He said, well, I drove up by Krispy Kreme, and I said, God, I know I'm supposed to be trying to watch what I eat and take care of my body, but I'm going to pray. And if there's a parking place right up front, then I'll know it's God's will for me to do that. And his friend said, did that happen? He said, yes, the 12th trip around the parking lot, one opened up. Well, that's not fighting temptation. But I've learned something from the llamas that I don't know that I've ever realized before. Larry, and I'll get his picture in a little while, not quite yet. I almost pulled in one of the videos of walking him the first time, and then I was like, man, nobody might ever want to come out if I do that. First time, and Dane, I think Dane's on Overwatch this morning. I think he's still afraid of Larry. I don't know. But a lot of people are. Very first thing, Larry is the one that is most likely to spit at you. The rest of them, you can do anything you want. They're not going to spit at you. Larry isn't going to do what we call the bad spit, but he might snort at you, and he may give you a good grain spit. Miss Wendy Vincent came out and helped us with her shearing. She walked up and said hi to Larry, and Larry said, I poop, and spit right at her. He doesn't like ladies as well as he does guys. I don't know why. I don't know what his deal is. He's a llama alpaca mix. Maybe that's the problem. He's kind of a freak of nature. He shouldn't have been. But he's a mess. And when the first time I walked him, he stands about here. His head does on me. And he's about 250, 270. And he is pure muscle. And when I finally got him, it took months of working with him and talking with him and bribing with him and loving on him to get him to let me put a halter on. And then one day we put the lead on. And the first time we got the rope on him and got out of the barn, I thought I done got a hold of myself a Brahma bull. He went straight up in the air. And when they jump, they can get up to a height of about 10 feet with the top, you know. And I mean, he went straight up in the air and around and was going around me. And on the video, you see, I looked most ridiculous. I had an orange toboggan on and shorts. I don't know why I did that. And I was sitting there like this on the video, and I realized I was subconsciously thinking about that little thing, all the directions they can kick. I was trying to protect my knees, you know. But I hung on, man, and it was me and Llama for a while. And we kept spinning and turning circles and going around. And I finally got him where I can put a lead on him and I can walk him of a sort. The rest of our llamas, we can walk them, take them all around the farm, walk them and do trail walks with them. We're working on doing trail walks here soon and all that. But he's not that way. And he has this thing where he likes to come. In fact, the next week I was like, why is my shoulder sore? And I was like, oh yeah, I know. That joker tried to pull it off. Well, he also is an intimidator. And he loves to come bounding up in that four-footed jump he does and come bounding up and do like what I call in basketball, we used to call it a jump stop, where he jumps and stops right in front of you, but you don't know he's going to stop. And he loves to do that and maybe even give you a little shoulder and body up on you because they'll neck wrestle each other. And he did that to Wendy one day. And he will. Now, I've never seen him plow anybody over. Never have. And kids, he's fairly good with, but never seen him do that. But he came running up to her one time, and he stopped, and he looked at her, and it was like his little mind was going, this will be fun, and he body checked her a little bit. And I was like, buddy, you just don't know what you did. She body checked him right back. One day they got in a spitting match. He was spitting at her. He spit at her, and she said, oh, yes, he spit back at him. Well, he spit at her. She spit at him. And they were out there spitting at one another for, I don't know, probably 10 minutes. And finally he quit and walked off in the corner. And I said, now you whooped him. He's good. But I learned something. Do you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to intimidate you and use fear, false evidence appearing real. And he wants to make you worry about things that are never, ever really even going to happen. Do you know 99% of the stuff we worry about will never come to place? And Larry is like that. He uses that intimidation, but I got to thinking about it, and I said, you know what? That's how the devil works. He likes to come running up to us. He can't touch us. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he can't have your soul, but he sure wants to make you think he can. And I got to looking at this verse, submit. Now that's the first problem we run into. Submit yourself to God, resist. Now that word resist is like a word resisting, you know, you think about resisting arrest. It is fighting, pushing away, pushing back the devil. And you will run from him. Is that what it says? Huh? It says he will flee from you. How on earth can you, as frail as you are and as frail as I am, make the devil run? You see, we always see it that we got to run away from the devil. But you know what? I have searched, I cannot find a single place. In Ephesians chapter 6, there is armor listed on the entire front of the body of the Christian. Of course, the helmet, the sword of the Spirit, the word, you know, the whole thing. And if you've studied that passage, yet there is something that is very conspicuously, inconspicuously missing. There is no armor on the back. Why? We're not ever to turn and flee. We're supposed to be going forward. And if you are in a worse place in your Christian life now than you were when you got saved, something's wrong. I don't find anywhere where we are told to flee the devil. Now, we are told to flee youthful lust. We are told to flee temptation. We are told to run away from those things. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the power of God inside of you to stand up to Him. The only time I find anybody fleeing a devil or devils was in the Apostle Paul. People were over there healing in the Apostle Paul in Jesus' name, but they weren't really of God. They were of the devil, but they went and they tried to heal, and the demons literally came out in a kind of a paraphrase. What they said is, Paul, we know, and Jesus, we know, but who in the world are you? And it says they fled that house beaten, naked, and wounded. But they're the only ones that I found fleeing from the face of the devil. Do you know what we learned about the llamas? If you turn and he comes pronking up like he does and stops and gets that little mischievous grin and starts to run towards you. And he's done that to me. He's actually bodied up to me more than one time. All you do if a llama, now this is useful. You'll know this now. If you run into one in Walmart, you'll know what to do. You just simply take a finger or hand and touch their neck and resist them. You just simply touch their neck. It doesn't take a hit, doesn't take a slap. All you do, take your hand and just touch their neck and push away. Learn something else. When a llama comes running up at you and he does that and he's wanting to push up against you and everything, you can take your hand, touch his neck. And one day I'd had enough because he came running over that before when we were learning about him. And so I stomped my feet and I started running at him. And another little trick, you have to put your finger in the air. Wendy has to do it a lot. She has to sometimes put both fingers in the air because she's shorter. But the llamas, the taller you are, they think, well, that must be a bigger person. It doesn't take the actual size. Just put your finger in the air, and they think, well, now you're looking down on me. I don't know how they equate the finger with the head. But you put your finger up in the air, Or you raise your head up like this, that's how they're going to spit. And you know they're going to spit when they raise their head, and they'll quit. And so I started running at Larry. You know what that coward did? He turned and ran as fast as his llama legs could carry him. Just ran. I was like, well, that was easy. I mean, I thought he was fixing to trample me over. You know, when the devil comes knocking at your door and has that fear towel he's got with him and he starts beating on you, all it takes is one touch of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and he has to flee. It is a promise. Resist, submit yourself to God, push him away, and you say in the name of Jesus, you get yourself soaked in the Word of God. You have that Bible in you where you can start quote. You quote those verses next time you're tempted. It's very, very hard to be in a temptation and quote a Bible verse about it at the same time. I mean, you quote it until you don't have that no more. All it takes is one touch of God's hand and that devil has to flee. But quickly, as that was really not my main point, I was just getting started. The llama's shearing. Not only llama's stubbornness, but this is a lot more about them actually. The llama's shearing. Now, one thing, and llamas are like sheep and wool. They have to be, they were actually bred in the Andes Mountains for the purpose of carrying 75-pound packs across the mountains and back. They love cold weather. They are very, very happy that fall has started. They do not like hot weather. They really, we had to turn misters on and fans and all that. We have thermostatically controlled fans in the barn and everything for them. And they are much happier. Now, when it gets to be about 35, 40 degrees outside, they will be running around out there just as happy as they could be. But the first thing I want you to know is that shearing is required. You know what the Bible says? It says a man should look into the Word of God, the mirror of God's Word, and the one that looks into the mirror of God's Word and walks away and does nothing about it is a fool. You know, he says you need to look into God's Word every day. He says, and often he says, examine your heart. The book of Corinthians, it says, examine yourselves. Did you know we as Christians need to be sheared? And I want to tell you, those, I know we have in our church a number of ordained ministers and preachers and teachers and men that teach and women that teach in our classes. Let me encourage you, don't ever use your platform of teaching as a whipping post. So what do you mean? Well, you know, you might know about something, somebody's life or something about that, or you know about whatever, you know, maybe there's a problem in the church. You don't get up and use that platform in Sunday school or wherever to preach on that and to make them an example publicly. Wisely, I think it was said one time, you can shear the sheep many times, but you can skin them only once. And I know men that have tried to do that, and it came back to bite them. You can't do that. But we need sheared. There are things in our life that just need to be cut away. What is it? If I were to ask you, and I'm going to, so what is the one thing that is keeping you from being a better Christian? What is it? Shearing is resisted. Now, shearing for them is required once a year in the climate in which we live. If they lived maybe in Florida, and there's actually an alpaca, a huge alpaca farm in Florida, it's like the llamas, and if you lived out west, they don't shear them, or up north, they don't shear them until around June, July. But we have to shear around March or April to May, and it is hilarious when they get sheared. They look almost naked. They got the fibers all taken off and everything. But shearing often is resisted. First, we had never sheared the llamas before. And so the shearer that we brought in, he was thinking they were a little smaller because they'd be a miniature llamas. But this dude came in there and I would have showed you some of the video, but he's not a Christian. And he got hit in the head once or twice and the language is a little different, you know, than our language sometimes. So anyway, I didn't want to show you that video, but one of the videos, especially Mario, had never been sheared before. It's a brand new experience for him. And we're not going to do it this way next time. I've since built me a chute out of scaffolding and stuff, and we're going to have a llama chute next time to shear them. We don't have to flip them. But exception of Larry, we flipped all every one of them llamas. You had to flip them over and hog tie them, basically. Had to tie the front hook, the front toes and the back toes to a post and have them laid out on the ground in a tarp. Now, I'm not sure about you. But just take Brother Mike here. He's one of our bigger guys. You go try to flip him upside down and tie his hands and feet and cut his, you know, chest hair or something. He's probably going to fight you. And I think he's probably going to win. But that's what we were doing to this guy. I mean, to put it in the human, we were flipping him over and cutting all his hair off, you know. And he's like, no. And he started, man, there were, I think he grew legs and became a spider. Because for a moment, there were toes and hooves and, you know, well, they call them toes, but flying every which way. And I mean, he was like a fireball of energy. I mean, this guy, he wasn't very big, but man, he was strong. He was all muscle. And he finally got him flipped over. And I think it was either Mario or Hotshot got him right in the side of the head. And I saw the guy's head just bam. It was a kick that the kickboxers would have been proud of. It's like, dude, you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm used to it. And we got him over and got him cut, did the first one, did all of them that way. They resisted. You know, a few moments ago, I asked you, what does it keep you from being a better Christian? You might have resisted in your mind. The Holy Spirit of God begins to search, and He puts that searchlight. The Bible says, abstain from appearance of evil. Maybe it's something that appears wrong. Maybe God's been speaking to you about reading His Word more. Maybe it's about the way you treat your family at home, being kinder. The Word of God says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even for Christ's sake, as Christ's sake has forgiven you. How do you treat each other? You know, I've known people that wouldn't dare take a sip of alcohol or illegal drugs or cheat on their spouse, but yet they crucify their spouse every day with their words. The book of James says the tongue is an unruly evil, a fire set on fire of hell. The ships and the birds and the animals can it tame, but the tongue can no man tame. What is it that needs sheared in your life? It is often resisted. It is a repeated thing. We have to do it every year. In fact, and we found out, according to the shearer, our big black llama, Larry, he's the one that's on all of our shirts, a lot of our shirts. We've got some other shirts made up, but we got him on one of the shirts and because he's such a photo star. He loves photos. And if you get out your phone, he does not want it in the other mode. He wants it in selfie mode where he can see himself in the picture. We were joking about it. We said we ought to rent him out as a llama to go to weddings and do pictures. And I think it was Melanie said that wouldn't work. He'd push the bride out of the way and be like, look at me. I mean, he'll go to a mirror on our golf cart and stare in the mirror and he'll be looking at it. And he's a very vain llama. But he loves his picture. But we discovered the shearer said, and we were all frightened of shearing him. In fact, we let him get what was called a barrel cut, which is you cut the chest, the barrel, and all that. You leave the head and the legs alone. We didn't nobody want to touch the legs. We're like, you're just going to have socks on for the summer, buddy. But he was, we learned that according to the shearer, he was at least a year, maybe he was at least 2 years, maybe 3 years overdue for shearing. Now, how would you feel if you tried to wear a wool coat about a month ago in that 100-degree heat with the humidity like it was? How would that, you know, that psychology, how would that make you feel? Yeah. And it was amazing. We were so afraid of dealing with him with that. So so I wound up holding him around the head, and the shearer climbed up on the fence and was over there doing that. We were all on edge and all of that. And Mason was actually there, but Mason, pull that picture up for me and let me show you how it made him feel. Now, after I described him to you, look at that. He's just purely as happy. He laid his head on my shoulders and closed his eyes and almost went to sleep. And he was like, oh, man. And do you know that llama's attitude has been better after he was sheared? You know what part of his problem was? He was hot. He was grouchy. He was wearing a stinking wool coat in the summer. And so that picture there is after we sheared him, or as we were shearing him, he was standing there with his head on my shoulder and just as appreciative as he could be. You know, animals are smarter than humans sometimes. They know when you're helping them. And he was just so, and ever since then, he has been much, much improved. Now think about this. Thank you, Mason. I appreciate that. When the Word of God, the Bible says it is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to devour this, to divide asunder of the joints and the marrow. We think about the Word of God being a sword to defeat our enemies, but you know the word for sword that was actually used in Ephesians chapter 6 was not the long one. It referred more to the little short one. A knife can be used to cut, and you say, well, that's terrible to cut somebody. Depends on whose hands it's in. What if it's in a heart surgeon's hands? And sometimes the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God says, hey, this here needs to be cut out. I think it may be Matthew West has a song out right now, and it talks about throwing all of the bad stuff in the fire, basically, and leaving no survivors. Do you know, have you ever, I hesitate to ask this, I'm sure none of you have. But have any of you ever gotten in trouble at school and you knew that your mom or dad knew? Anybody ever did that? Melania used to say she had no chance. I was the school administrator in Florida. For a while, I was the pastor and the school administrator. And her Grammy at one time was in the kindergarten room, and her mom was coaching volleyball and worked in the office, and her gramps taught in another classroom. So anything she did, it got dealt with right there. She didn't have a chance. But you know, years ago, I was telling the kids in Sunday school, teachers had panic buttons on their desk, all of them, when we were all kids, young people. It was about that long, and it was made out of wood. And if you misbehaved, it caused panic and the fear of students. And they panicked on your rear end until you straightened up, and things were back to normal. But you know what? We didn't have school shootings neither, because there was a respect of the teacher and of authority. And you know, you knew that they knew that you knew that they knew that you were going to get in trouble when you got home. And you were worried about it. It might mess up your appetite. I mean, you knew that they knew that. You know how you feel when God convicts you of something and you begin to get that taken care of? Remember when you got saved? Those of you that know the Lord is saved, if you haven't got saved, you don't understand this. But when you trust Christ, it is like a weight is lifted off of your chest. It's like, what in the world? I wish I'd have done this years ago. But when you have something in your life, maybe it's unforgiveness. You're holding a grudge against someone. And you don't want to let it go. Maybe today you need to go home and call somebody or text them or email them or something and say, look, I was wrong in this and I apologize. Because when you do, that picture that Larry was there with his head on his shoulder and his eyes closed, it's what God will do for you. He will wrap you in His arms and He will bring you in and He will say, "It's all right, child. That's dealt with." And you know what else? Next time you go stand before Him and you say, "You remember when I did?" And He'll say, "Nope. But I didn't. Nope, I don't remember it." You see, He said, "I will forgive your sins as far as the east is of the west." And when you ask forgiveness for that, He means it. And sometimes we have to be sheared. Sometimes it's repeated. And my last thing here, shearing is rewarding. And I brought some show and tell stuff, and in a moment I'll have Mason pull it up on the screen too, because he said they're not going to be able to see that, and that was a good point. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us." Well, notice when the llama started running around and all like that, that it was very rewarding for them. Shearing is not only required, resisted, repeated, it is rewarding. When we shear them, we get to keep the fiber. And here's some of Larry's right here. I've been warned not to play with this too much because I like to ball it up and it pops back up. And she said, "That's been carded. Don't mess that up too much. But if you want to touch it later, you can come up here and touch it and all that." But we have to go through a carding process and a whole process to make it usable. We're still learning about all that. So our living room right now has a carding wheelie thingamajigger in it. I don't know what you call it. But it's got llama Tupperwares with everybody's name on it, you know, and all that. But it's very rewarding because we get the fiber. You can make, I guess you can turn it into yarn, and it's kind of expensive yarn. Eventually, maybe we'll get enough to put it on Amazon or something, and you get all that, and you can make yarn out of it and all that. And then I'll have to show you this one because this is one of my favorite that we started making out of it. It's called wet felting, and I think Mason's got a picture of it. He took a picture. But this ain't he cute? This is made out of Larry and Kayla's fiber, the whole thing. It's like, what'd you say, so many ounces, 3, 4, I don't know, a bunch. It's a bunch of it's been carded, and they poke it and spray it and poke it some more and spray it some more, and then they put it in the dryer, and eventually it becomes a hardened animal that can actually be used, and it's called wet felting. And we've got all these molds for dogs and cats and bunnies, and maybe we get a llama mold. That would be unique. But there's all these different ones. But I said all that to say this: when you let God shear you, it is rewarding. We resist it and we fight it. We're like, "No, Lord, I don't want to let that go. I won't ever have any fun if you take that." And God's like, "Child, do you realize the reward that is going to come if you just do what I'm asking you to do?" He says, "I know the plans for you, not of evil, but of good." So I want to ask you again, and Brother Linwood asked me if I'd like an invitation hymn. I said, "I think I would. So if you want to come ahead and start getting an invitation hymn together." Has God been up to shearing in your life? It's like the llamas. We all got stuff that we need to get cut out. You know, when we began to shear them, it was amazing. There were gumballs, you know, the little things fall out of the tree. We call them gumballs that fall out of the trees. There were in there, there was straw. There was even a stick. One of them had a piece of duct tape. Somehow, I don't know how, in their tail. I mean, it was incredible the junk they picked up. And I mean, once we sheared them, they were so much easier to move around. It was so much more rewarding. So I want you to think, as Brother Linwood comes in a moment, what's God working on in your life? You know, the only animal, a lizard is a very unique animal, an amphibious animal. But you know, they never stop growing until they're dead. I've often said we need a lot of lizard Christians. You don't need to quit growing till you're dead. Because sometimes people get saved, they say, well, I'm saved, bless God, and I'll sit here and hold this pew till Jesus comes. They don't do nothing else. But I think if you really do what God wants you to, He wants to do some shearing in your life. So can we just stand together for a moment? And if you want to, maybe brother, just while Brother Linwood sings, I'll just let you sing this morning. Let's just have our eyes closed and our head bowed this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. But if you want to come this morning, maybe God's been working on you and telling you, this doesn't belong in your life. Maybe you just need to come down here. Maybe somebody you need to go talk to. Let's just let God do some shearing. That's what Brother Linwood sings.